Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, what in the world is going on? That's a question that we often ask when we encounter things that aren't going the way that we think they should be going. Parents will catch their children doing something that they shouldn't be doing, and they might say, "What in the world is going on?" Teachers may see their students misbehaving in some way, and they might say with authority, "What in the world is going on here?" Confirmation students will sit in class on Wednesdays, maybe asking, "What in the world is going on?" It's also a question that we ask when we simply look at the world that is full of sin, murder, adultery, the despising of authority, shameless greed, all manner of rank immorality. And so often we want to ask, what in the world is going on? It's a question usually asked out of despair, maybe fear, or anger. Dear friends, Pentecost changes the way that we ask that question. Pentecost allows you to ask that question not out of despairing fear or out of supposedly righteous anger, but rather out of thankful awe and wonder. For Pentecost, the day that we celebrate today, is in fact a day to rejoice. To rejoice indeed about what is going on in the world. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that Pentecost shows us how to see bad things as good, or how to see evil things as righteous, or how to rejoice over wickedness that exists in the world. But rather, Pentecost reminds you that even in the midst of the world's wickedness, even in the midst of your own wickedness, God is amazingly still at work in this world. And he is at work for you and for your salvation. What in the world is going on? It's a question that they asked on that day of Pentecost, although in a slightly different way. You know the story. There are the apostles. They're in Jerusalem, as Jesus told them to stay there. They're in a house, and just 50 days after Christ's resurrection, all of these Jews are gathered for the Feast of Weeks. Pentecost. They're gathered from all over the world, every nation under heaven, we're told. And of course, the Holy Spirit, the power from on high, which Jesus promised, comes to his apostles in such a way as to fulfill that Old Testament prophet Joel. So all of a sudden, there in this house, there is this great sound, like a mighty rushing wind, and it fills the entire house, we're told. But the Spirit was not in the wind. And there were these tongues like fire resting upon the apostles' heads, but the Spirit was not in the fire. Now the Holy Spirit fills them up, and what do? They begin to speak. And there is the Spirit at work in their words. And these are miraculous words for at least two reasons. They are miraculous not only because the apostles found themselves speaking languages, real, actual languages that they'd never learned in their life, but even more, these are miraculous words because of the content. We're told that they are proclaiming the mighty works of God. And the people around them, they hear this, and they ask, "What does this mean?" You guys know that question very well, right? What does this mean? They might as well ask, what in the world is going on here? It's so strange that the apostles get accused of being drunk because, frankly, they're saying something that the world would only expect a drunk person to say. That one has died and risen again? And that because of that, your sins are forgiven? Yes, Jesus fulfills his promise that he gave to them 10 days earlier when he said that they would be his witnesses to all of the world. And it begins on this day when representatives from all nations under heaven are in Jerusalem and they hear in their own language the mighty works of God. You see, dear friends, that is why we celebrate Pentecost. To remember once again that there is nothing, nothing that will prevent God from making his law and his gospel known to all the world and even to you. We celebrate Pentecost to hear once again how it is that God accomplishes his mighty works in and for the sake of this world. And how does he do it? He does it with words. Plain words. Not lofty speech, not unintelligible babbling, but with the mightiest work that God has done being proclaimed into your eardrums. The message of the cross of Jesus. A message that Christ has died and risen for you. A message able to make you wise unto salvation. A message that sounds like utter foolishness in the eardrums of unbelievers. And yet, mysteriously, it is the message that God uses to save his ungodly enemies like you and like me. You see, there is nothing in all the world that can hinder that message of Christ from going forth, not a language barrier and not even your own sin. Sure, we may look around the world and we may bemoan all kinds of things. Unrest in the Middle East, unrest in Washington, D.C., unrest down the street at my neighbor's house, unrest in my own home, and even in my own heart. And we might cry out, what in the world is going on? Well, what in the world is going on is that in the midst of such unrest, God deigns to condescend even to you, to his creation, to deliver the good news of Christ for you. What in the world is going on? Well, just look around. God has gathered his lambs once again, even today, around his law and his gospel, around his eternal gifts of baptism and his supper, also that you would be comforted with the words that your sins are forgiven on account of Christ and him alone, with no merit or worthiness on your part. What in the world is going on? Just use your ears and listen. Today, you get to hear three brothers and sisters in Christ make the good confession of faith, something only possible by the power of the Spirit. What in the world is going on? The mighty works of God. That's what's going on in this world. So, dear friends, for that, let us rejoice. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.